This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, is America safer today than it was 8 years ago? Have we enhanced our standing around the world? That's what White House spokesman Josh Earnest told reporters yesterday. We'll talk about that with a member of the Homeland Security Committee in the House, Georgia Congressman Barry Loudermilk. And yesterday, we talked about the president's rant against those who are challenging him for not identifying the source of the terrorist threat against America, radical Islamist. Author and retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis joins me to continue that conversation. Also, some good news. Would you like some good news? Well, doesn't matter. You're going to get some good news. As it turns out, listen up, as it turns out, not everyone is jumping off a bridge. And did your dad ever tell you that? If everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you do it? Well, not everyone is jumping off a bridge, nor are they engaging in premarital sex. CEO of the National Abstinence Education Association, Valerie Huber, is here with these details. That's coming up here on Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest and the topics. Also, there is information there on the website about the upcoming Values Voters Summit, September 9th and 10th in Washington, D.C. You won't want to miss it. A great lineup of speakers again this year. Of course, the Benham brothers are going to be there. We have Governor Matt Bevin of Kentucky going to be there. Invited speakers also include Governor Phil Bryant, Senator Ted Cruz, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest is going to be with us. They've been taking a strong stand in the state of North Carolina, and many members of Congress as well will be joining us, senators, congressmen, and we hope you will be there as well. Again, the website, tonyperkins.com. Go to the website so you can register to be a part of this event. It is the event for conservatives in Washington, D.C. Again, it is the Values Voter Summit, September 9th and 10th, the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. All right. Sometimes Washington seems more like Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. It's like when you fly in every week, when I fly into to D.C., it's like going down a rabbit hole. You know, yesterday, the president angrily pushed back against those who challenged him on refusing to identify the enemy that is killing us, literally, on our streets, which we'll talk about in our next segment. But his spokesman made clear this administration is living in a parallel universe. Yesterday, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest stated that the U.S. is actually safer today than we were 8 years ago. You don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself. This was Josh Earnest, the spokesman for the White House, yesterday.
The president believes it's important for his successor to build on the progress that our country has made and not scrap it. I often make that argument in the context of our country's success in digging out of the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. And it's certainly true in that context. It also happens to be true in the context of our homeland security and our national security. The president does believe it's important that his successor is somebody who recognizes that our country is safer than it was 8 years ago, that we've enhanced our standing around the world, that we've strengthened our alliances, that we have refined and improved and strengthened our homeland security.
That is the unaltered words of the spokesman for the White House, Josh Earnest. Joining me now with his reaction is the congressman from the 11th Congressional District, a member of the Homeland Security Committee in the House of Representatives, our good friend Barry Loudermilk. Barry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, Tony, it's always good to be with you. And man, I can't believe this. American people ought to be in awe at this statement, especially on the heels of what happened in Orlando. It is absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. You know, just week before last, the president was talking about how the military was stronger than it's ever been because of his policies in opening up the military to open homosexuality, now pushing for transgenderism. And our military is almost at the point it was prior to World War II in terms of readiness. We can't fly our planes because we don't have parts. What are these people doing? I mean, they just think they can say it and it comes true?
You know, I think they live in the 51st state, a delusional state. You know, it's I don't know if they really believe this, but when you look at the statement of what he's saying, that America is safer than it was 8 years ago, and look at the number of attacks we've had that has taken American lives. You know, San Bernardino, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Garland, Texas, the Boston Marathon bombers with the 3 killed, 264 wounded, Benghazi,
Fort Hood, Texas,
Little Rock, and Orlando. I mean, this Orlando was the worst terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11. Now, think of what if Ari Fleischer came out 2 days after 9/11 and made that statement.
The press would have gone crazy.
Absolutely. And I think that they really believe this stuff. But when you look at our standing in the international community is stronger, nobody fears this guy. Nobody has respect for in the international community has respect for Barack Obama. That's why ISIS, they laugh. They don't shudder when America threatens to do anything. Our allies, they don't know when to trust us. I mean, I would like to hear what Benjamin Netanyahu would like to say about that statement.
Right. Well, it's not just ISIS. I mean, you know, we just had this rash recently of Russia taunting our military jets as well as our Navy. So it's not just these rogue make-believe states like ISIS, but it's Russia, it's China. No one respects America under the guidance and failed leadership of Barack Obama. But I want to drill down on this, Congressman Loudermilk. I mean, you're a member of the Homeland Security Committee. All right, you keep your eye on these issues. Let's right. talk about the status of America's security right now.
We are, in my opinion, the most vulnerable that we have been in decades, if not a century or more. If you look, there's more unrest internationally than there has ever been. There's more instability in the Middle East than we've seen in 100 years. The policies that this Congress tries to pass to protect America, the president continues to threaten to veto those. His policies have been geared toward global warming and not protecting America. If you look at just recently, when the Homeland Security budget came from the White House, he was cutting $599 million from counterterrorism operations while fully funding climate change. Since he's been in office in the last 8 years, or since he's been in office since 2008, the FAA budget for climate change research, the FAA even has a budget for climate change research, has increased 800%.
Wow.
Aviation safety has only increased 7%. His priority is totally about social reengineering. You've seen that in the military. The military has become a social engineering lab, not a force projection to protect America. And so we are extremely vulnerable because of the policies out of the White House. Everything we try to do in Congress usually doesn't move. It may move out of the House. It doesn't move in the Senate because the president says he's going to veto it. The SAFE Act to stop refugees for terrorists exploiting our refugee program, stalled in the Senate because the president says he's going to veto it. Secure Our Borders First Act to secure the southern border. The president says he would veto, so it doesn't move. But yet, he states that climate change is the greatest risk to America's safety.
All right, Congressman, if I were to put this question out there right now, the phones would light up, and I can almost anticipate what a number of our callers would ask. They agree with what you just said, and you talked about how his misplaced priorities in expanding funding for global warming. But does not Congress have the power of the purse? Where has the Republican Congress been on holding this president accountable for policies that have literally put the nation at risk and danger?
And that's one of the problems we've had, because over the past decades, Congress has really abdicated its authority. That's one of the things that Senator Mike Lee and I and some others are working on, is restoring that Article I power. When you look at a lot of these outside agencies, they pretty much snub their nose at us because we only control about 35% of federal spending right now. And so the other problem we have is, of course, over in the Senate with their cloture rule. The Democrats can pretty much control the agenda over on that side. This is one of the problems that we have to restore that authority. And, you know, we have done what we tried to, in fact, we stopped the next rounds of cuts to the military that the president had planned for last year. We were able to shore that up, but we're still woefully behind in the ability of our, and my son's in the Army right now. He gets pulled out of the field from doing their infantry training because they don't have enough bullets. That's a sad state of affairs.
It is. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, my guest in this first segment, Congressman Barry Loudermilk. All right, Congressman, I'm gonna ask you a question. All right, and of course I've asked you other questions, but I'm gonna ask you another question. But this is related more to our listeners, and we're coming up to an election cycle. All right, we're gonna elect the next commander in chief. When you, given the knowledge you have, and you have a lot more knowledge about what's happening, just because of the fact that you represent people and you're on this committee, Homeland Security, you have the benefit of information that Americans do not, okay? I'm not going to ask you to tell us that, but I'm going to ask you this. When you think and work through the process of selecting the next leader, and I'm not going to ask you who you're going to vote for. I think I know who, but I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask you this. What's your top priorities? What's the top three things you are concerned about going forward in this country?
You know, going forward, when it comes to national security, we need to have someone who prioritizes securing Americans. If you look at the Constitution, the foremost requirement of our federal government is to secure the rights of the people, which includes protecting us from outside sources and inside sources that seek to destroy us. The failure of this administration is their failure to address the ideology behind the terrorist movement, which is an extreme Islamic ideology.
Mm-hmm. They've coddled it. They've fostered an environment that has allowed that to grow.
And they have even fired people for using the term extreme Islamic terrorism. This is one of the things when it comes to national security that we need out of a president, somebody who is not bound by political correctness. And I think it's the true beliefs of Barack Obama. Is he, when he ran, he said he wanted to fundamentally transform America, and he's been very successful at doing it.
Yes.
We need somebody who understand the Constitution, go back to the traditional American values. One of the things I'm looking for is, when we've seen a lot of what the Supreme Court has done with our value system here, is the government is defining what is morality to us. When our founding fathers said God has already defined morality, we need to...
Well, it's not the government. It's just the five justices on the Supreme Court that are defining it.
That's right. And it's their idea of morality, but the government tries to shoehorn everybody into their definition of morality.
Right.
And we've got to secure this nation and put aside political correctness. It's time to say what we mean and do what we say, and once again become that nation that is respected by our allies and is feared by our enemies. The only way we're going to do that is actually do what we say.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Congressman Barry Loudermilk, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Great to have you.
All right, Tony. Thank you so much for everything that you and your organization does. We appreciate it. God bless.
All right. Thanks, Barry. Congressman Barry Loudermilk. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, yesterday the president lashing out at those who challenged him for not identifying the attacks on America as a result of radical Islamists. We're going to talk about that with retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis about why it's important we identify the enemy. That's coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Do you enjoy history, museums, pandas, and national monuments? And are you looking to gain work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, come spend a semester as an intern in Washington, D.C. with the Family Research Council. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. To learn more and apply to the program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Hope Rains will be in Seely, Texas, about 50 miles west of Houston, starting Saturday, June 11th, ministering to an area devastated by flooding. Volunteers are needed now. Here's 8 Days of Hope president, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Hope Rains will provide the food and lodging for all volunteers for this Texas flood relief effort. You must be at least 18. To volunteer, call 662-255-7565 or email hoperains@8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this effort. For more information, visit 8daysofhope.com. Hope Rains is a ministry division of 8 Days of Hope.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at tperkins. All right, as we have repeatedly discussed, the administration just doesn't get it when it comes to radical Islam. The White House is still unable to use that phrase. And as I discussed yesterday in the program, President Obama even mocked those who define our enemy correctly. Now, we continue to learn more about the investigation into the terrorist attack in Orlando. But we know the primary motivation, and we don't have to get any more evidence. The attacker himself said, I mean, he pledged his allegiance to ISIS while speaking to emergency responders by phone. Now, if we can't properly define our enemy, how can we defeat them? This puts our nation at great risk. In fact, we're going to be joined just a moment by Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis, author, retired Army, but author of a book, Never Submit. He was also a senior fellow at the Family Research Council. So he's going to join us in a moment to talk more about this. But I want to draw attention to some of the statements that have come out from Islamic organizations, ISIS organizations, praising Mateen as the lion of the caliphate. And they are now urging more attacks by individuals who have pledged their support to ISIS. Now, this has come a group called, it's kind of their media arm. I mean, these folks are pretty organized. Al-Batar is the media arm of the Libyan ISIS unit. And they called Omar Mateen is the lion of the caliphate and a hero for slaughtering 49 infidels and calling on other lone jihadists to follow his example. Now, the Obama administration did confirm that Mateen was consuming ISIS propaganda online. Now, Al-Batar is reportedly the, as I mentioned, the media operation for an elite ISIS Libyan unit. And anyway, the statement was released a half hour later after the president's statement yesterday praising Allah for making the United States humiliated and a laughingstock among nations during Ramadan. Quote, ISIS has previously called for a month of conquest during the Islamic holy month that ends July 5th, saying that they should be crusaders day and night, and even neighbor should be afraid of his neighbor. It goes on, and I'm going to talk more about this because I want to draw a parallel for the White House and show their hypocrisy on this. But joining me now is an expert on the Islamic threat, as I mentioned, retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel and author of the book Never Submit, Bob McGinnis. Bob, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for having me, Tony.
All right. This is a topic you've been covering for quite some time. All right. Give us your take on how the White House is handling this in the aftermath and the president's defensive nature yesterday for those calling him out for not identifying the enemy.
Yeah, it was appalling. It's dangerous. I couldn't imagine that a president of the United States would be so out of touch with the threat that this country faces today. Especially, you know, he said, he called him a JV 2 years ago, and of course they metastasized into something that's much, much more serious than even Al-Qaeda. And yet the president, after the, you know, the tragedy in Orlando, comes out and he attacks Donald Trump for, you know, expressing a common sentiment across this country that, you know, we need to be defended. We need our president to set the example and to do something right with regard to this growing threat of ISIS, both over there and here at home.
So what is it, Bob, that causes the president to hesitate and not want to? I mean, he talks about extremism. He doesn't talk about radical Islamists. He doesn't talk about Muslims who want to kill. He talks about extremists, and he lumps a lot of people into that category. Why the hesitation on his behalf?
Well, I can only speculate, Tony, that it's his own upbringing. You know, certainly he lived in Malaysia. He had an Islamic father. He, of course, surrounds himself, even at the White House, with people that are pro-Muslim Brotherhood, which, of course, is the government that, you know, was finally kicked out of Egypt, and the people that spawned the Hamas and are sympathetic with Sharia law, which, of course, has come to some communities here in the United States. The president has an agenda. He will, as Billy Graham or Franklin Graham said, I think today, that, you know, he won't defend Christians that are being robbed of their livelihood because they won't serve, bake a wedding cake for homosexuals, but he will, you know, defend to the hilt, you know, somebody that, you know, says something against a Muslim. He just refuses. And yet, the things that we see, and I write about in my book, Never Submit, the types of things that we see in the world today are right out of the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah, the holy books of Islam. I'm not making this up. This is unfortunate. And when you look at the Quran out of Medina, 24%, one quarter of it, it talks about jihad. And it talks about killing the kafir, the innocent, the unbelievers. These are the types of things that our president is making all sorts of excuses for, trying to build bridges to a part of the population that, frankly, has no use for the United States, the West, and certainly for Christians.
Bob, we only have about 30 seconds left, but how compromised is our security infrastructure, intelligence, and such? You mentioned those that are sympathetic, not only sympathetic, but you have Muslims, practicing Muslims, in some of these key positions. How compromised is our security infrastructure?
Well, it's very compromised because we will not deal with the ideology, and the ideology is the motivation behind a lot of this terrible things that are going on, Tony. So I'm very concerned. The 16 intelligence agencies are handicapped, certainly Homeland Security, certainly the Defense Department when we fight overseas. This is something we should not trifle with at all, and yet our president has, you know, ignored reality and has endangered this nation, in my opinion.
Colonel Bob McGinnis, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, you can find out more about his book, Never Submit. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift gears. Some good news. As I mentioned at the top of the program, not everybody's jumping off bridges, and not every teenager is having premarital sex. We're going to talk about that good news from the CDC with Valerie Huber next. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Oil prices are retreating, and I would say they're retreating dramatically. And I think that we are going to have to watch that closely. It's interesting because now they're concerned once again about oversupplies. Even though we've got reports on higher demand, they're concerned about oversupplies. API, American Petroleum Institute, reported that 1.2 million barrel increase in crude supplies. Now, this is on the heels of 4 weeks in a row of seeing supplies diminish a bit. And I thought it was very odd that we saw oil rigs coming online so quickly as we saw inventories come down. I thought it would have been wise to give it a breather through the summer before you go putting more online to ramp up production. But nevertheless, that's what happened. So we're seeing oil prices coming down significantly. That had been impacting the markets. I don't think we're going to see much change in oil as the markets look like they're going to be inching up a little bit. Bank of Greece is urging the left-wing government to implement bailout reforms. They don't want to do it. Why should they do it? They know they're going to get another bailout. And it looks like in the European stock side, after 5 days of a losing streak, they're moving back into equities. I guess those negative interest rates they were getting in that 10-year bond in Germany was not so attractive. So we're seeing kind of a risk on once again throughout Europe, Asia, and here in America, and that will impact markets in a positive way.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Like that music? Well, a little different beat there, folks. Just want to make sure you're paying attention. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. A little bit later, we're going to open up the phone lines. Jot down this number, 866-372-7234. Okay, earlier this month, some good news from the Center for Disease Control. The news shows a positive trend regarding teenagers and their sexual behavior. Now, the left is constantly telling us that teenagers, they're going to have sex, so just deal with it. Okay? We want to give them, you know, all the equipment and everything they need to do it. Well, the numbers from the CDC, they don't bear that out. The new 2015 data from the most recent youth risk behavior survey shows not only are kids drinking less, smoking less, and fighting less, but the biggest news is that the rate of teens who are not having sex increased 28%. That's over a quarter. Which means 6 out of 10, that's 60%, are making the choice to wait. In a culture that is saturated with sex, promoting it at every turn, it's good to see more and more teens making healthy, moral decisions. Joining now to highlight these positive numbers from the CDC is the president and CEO of the National Abstinence Education Association, Valerie Huber. Valerie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Tony. This is great news, isn't it?
It is. Let's talk about what's behind it. What is driving this positive trend?
Well, of course, the data from the CDC doesn't give the reasons. One thing we know for sure is that despite all of the talk trying to get to the source of why have teen pregnancy rates been decreasing, why are we at an all-time low in teen birth rates, liberals have posited that it's probably because contraceptive use is on the increase and TV shows like MTV's 16 and Pregnant are being a disincentive. Well, this new news by the CDC tells us a different story, and that is young people are in many ways making smarter decisions than their parents did. They're waiting for sex longer, and we're hopeful that this is a trend that will continue. I'm concerned that it won't continue, though, unless we change the kind of messaging and reinforcement that we're giving to young people.
Now, Valerie, the data that I see shows that young people are highly influenced by certain people in their lives, and parents being key in that process. Is there any evidence to suggest that these are parents who, some of them making bad choices themselves when they were that age, are encouraging their teenagers, their children, to make good choices?
Well, we regularly talk to parents and we make that recommendation that the choices and decisions they may have made as teens can be learning experiences for their own children. They don't have to repeat those same mistakes, but they can learn through them. We partnered not long ago with Barna Group to ask teens themselves why they're waiting for sex and what kind of things are pressuring them to have sex. And a couple things came out from that survey. Most who are waiting say they're not waiting because they're afraid of pregnancy. They're not waiting because they're afraid of contracting an STD. They're waiting because they want a real, lasting, committed relationship, and they're willing to wait for that. I think that's an encouraging piece of news that puts a little flesh on these statistics. In addition to that, when we ask them, where are you feeling the pressure to have sex? 4 in 10 said they're feeling pressure to have sex in their sex ed classes. Well, when you look a little deeper at these statistics, you find that until 11th grade, the majority of those teens have not had sex. Something happens in their senior year when more than 50% transition to being sexually active. Is it any surprise, with the majority of the sex ed out there being ones that just normalize teen sexual activity, that pressure is finally resulting in some behavior? We need to make a change, and I think these statistics show that as adults, we need to be grown up here, and we need to reinforce the positive behavior that teens are making so that this
right.
can continue longer.
And challenge them to make the right decision. A lot of young people are just waiting to be challenged to do the right thing, but they're not getting that counter pressure, as you mentioned. I've talked to some young people who say these sex ed classes make it sound like everybody's doing it, so they might as well do it too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of research behind that. When you set high expectations, on average, people are going to attain more with a high expectation, and few will attain above a low expectation. Well, the message that is both culturally being sent and sent in way too many of our sex ed classes is a very low expectation, expecting young people to have sex, and the news from the CDC is showing they're not, so we should be all over this in terms of reinforcing healthy decisions, looking for ways to make it a more doable goal to wait, hopefully, until they're married.
Absolutely. And parents play a key part in that process. Valerie Huber, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, always. Thank you.
All right, to find out more about Valerie's work with the National Abstinence Educational Association, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Some good resources there for you. And parents, do not, hear me, do not underestimate your influence with your children. Your teenagers, yes, even your teenagers. I know they act like they don't hear you, but you have tremendous influence with them. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right. It was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually, who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our spiritual heritage tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Target is not listening. More than 1.3 million people have signed the pledge to boycott Target. Their stock value has dropped more than $10 billion, and still, they're sticking with their effort to change American values. Men are welcome in Target fitting rooms and bathrooms with your wife and daughters. Is that okay with you? Go to AFA.net and sign the pledge to boycott Target. If you've already signed, share the link on social media. Our goal is 50,000 new signatures this week. Let's make Target listen.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I want to remind you of the words Abraham Lincoln spoke at Gettysburg. He told his audience that our government is designed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's our responsibility to let our voices be heard when so much is at stake. So I implore you to become involved citizens who go to the polls and cast informed votes on Election Day.
Are you prepared to stand for real change? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. Join thousands of like-minded Americans who envision a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at the Values Voter Summit have included Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Governor Mike Huckabee, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dr. Ben Carson, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Ollie North, Mark Levin, and many others. In addition, there will be ample opportunity to network and meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, national security, government overreach, and more. On September 9th through 11th, stand with us and fight for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to watch last year's event. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, 866-372-7234. All right, here's the question. You know, the White House yesterday saying America is safer than it was 8 years ago. Do you agree? What do you think? What do you think about the White House's statement that America is safer, our standing in the world is stronger than it was 8 years ago? 866-372-7234. Okay, I want to go back for just a moment. David there in Virginia, hold on. I'm going to come to you in just a moment. I want to go back. I was PJ Media had an article out commenting on ISIS's statement praising Mateen as the lion of caliphate. And anyway, in this, again, this is the kind of the media arm, Al-Batar, of the Libyan ISIS unit. And they say in this statement, calling Mateen a hero, responded to the call of jihad. And it's said to send the message that we are all ticking time bombs and may explode anytime and anywhere. And it says the battle, America, is no longer in the land of the Muslims alone, but in your land. The statement specifically suggests targeting movie theaters, hospitals, airports, trains, amusement parks, and restaurants. Al-Batar also encourages jihadis to diversify with poisons and gases. Select your goal from the Sons of the Cross and kill. Now, this is coming from ISIS, and we had San Bernardino, Orlando, they responded to the calls from ISIS. The president refuses to acknowledge this as radical jihadist, as Islamist. He says it's extremist. Now, let me just put a hypothetical in front of you. Now, if the Southern Baptist Convention released a statement praising the killing and terrorizing of people, would the president say take the same position that he has on Muslim terrorists, that it has nothing to do with their religion or their association? He refuses to identify it. Is there something behind this? All right, 866-372-7234. Is America safer today than it was 8 years ago under the policies of President Barack Obama? Let's go to David in Virginia. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I missed the first half of your program, but I wanted to call in. The answer to your question is no way. We are definitely not safer. And the reason is what President Obama got on television yesterday and made an exclamation point. He still will not acknowledge that the ideology of Islam is what is killing innocents around the world. And in his speech yesterday, he said that we need to make it harder for people who are willing to kill Americans to get guns. He's blaming guns. Mm-hmm. When I blame him for the 49 dead in Orlando, and this is why. Omar Mateen may have pulled the trigger, but Obama's FBI, Obama's Homeland Security, Obama's Justice Department had a shot at this guy twice because he was verbalizing rhetoric that he wanted to kill people, he was supporting ISIS, and still, when he got into a gun shop and they ran his background check, it came back clean. I can't believe that. If the FBI was interviewing me for terrorism, you better believe that I would not be able to get a gun. The only reason Omar got a gun was because he is Muslim, and Obama has caused his Justice Department and his Homeland Security and his FBI to ignore the fact of radical Islam. That is why we're having killings. That is why killings will continue. And no screaming on his part or the part of the left or them walking out of Congress is going to change that fact.
David, I cannot dispute a single word you said. I think you're absolutely right. And this idea of gun control, now this goes back to, you know, the president's philosophy, his former chief of staff, now mayor of Chicago, that you never let a crisis go unused. And so every time there's one of these crises, a shooting, they, you know, automatically go to gun control. Got to have gun control. Well, I mean, the guy, I think he had the explosive vest that didn't detonate. What if he had that? Well, I mean, you've got car bombs, you've got knives, you've got all kinds of things. This isn't about the instrument. You're right. It's about the ideology. And the president refuses to acknowledge that this ideology is systematically killing innocent people around the globe. And it's being facilitated by this administration's refusal to acknowledge it and track it. You know, we have freedom in this country. We have liberty, but it's ordered liberty. If you're trying to blow this country up, kill people in this country, undermine it, you don't have that freedom. That's not one of the freedoms you have. They're more, you know, going back to you know what Franklin Graham said today, this administration is more interested in restricting the religious freedoms of Christians in this country than they are restricting the ability of jihadis to kill Americans. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Oklahoma, where Shannon is on the line. Shannon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you.
All right, is America safer today?
Absolutely not. And I believe it goes way beyond gun control with President Obama. You're just having a lady on your show that was talking about, you know, teens nowadays are looking where they're waiting before they have sex, and which is a great thing, but it's also, that is being attacked also by the president pushing down same gender bathrooms and showers. What's going to happen when your daughter is forced to take showers with boys and she's assaulted? So there's another one of our safeties, our protections being taken away. And I was talking earlier with a friend and I go, you know, guns are great, and they do protect us. They protect our family, but they also they provide a way of life, a way of freedom of being able to put food on your table if you want to live that way. And ranchers use those to protect their cattle. And if those are taken away, you're also taking away food off people's table, driving up the price of other resources, pulling more money out of the American people. And it's just, it's ridiculous. And there's no way at any aspect you could say by taking guns away, that's going to eliminate the problem. Even if they scooped up every single gun there ever was, these people are going to find other ways to harm Americans. And they tested this theory for, it has to be for years. I mean, when you go to break into someone's house, you don't just walk right in. You check the fence. Then you go inside the fence. You look around. You see that there's no alarm. Nothing's being done. Then you go in, and nothing happens to you. And this is what Obama is showing these radical Muslims, that you can go and kill American people, and all we're going to do is try to make it even easier for you by taking their protection away from them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and that's another aspect of gun control that we're missing here, because I know not everybody has a gun, but a lot of people do. And if you don't, I have one for you. Because I believe in the Second Amendment. I can't remember when I didn't have a gun. And then I spent most of my adult life in occupations where I used one. And I believe you need to be trained and you need to know how to use it. And I believe in all safe handling and all that. And I teach my kids all of that. And I believe very strongly in that. But I also think, look, this administration won't protect us. They refuse. So I believe it falls to Americans to protect themselves. I assure you, I'm protected and will be and will protect my family and those around me because of these threats that our government will not protect us from, which is, by the way, the primary purpose of the federal government. You know, the president's off doing all these other things, as Barry Loudermilk was talking about earlier, all this funding going to global warming, but yet not doing anything to protect us, or very little, from the terrorist. Shannon, thanks so much for the call. Here's an email that came in from Randy in Georgia. It said, I listened with utter disbelief to the comments of Josh Earnest, and this thought came to mind before Congressman Loudermilk came on the air. A man who unknowingly believes a lie can say he has genuinely been deceived, but a man who knowingly believes his own lies is not deceived. That man is delusional, and Barack Obama is delusional. I feel certain that an even sadder truth is that Josh Earnest knows he is parroting untruths, we used to call them lies, for the president. But for the sake of a paycheck and a position with the administration, Mr. Earnest willfully repeats the president's fables with no regard for his own eternity. Thanks, Randy, for the email. All right, 866-372-7234. Going to work in a couple more calls here. Let's stay in Oklahoma and go to Fred. Fred, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony.
How you doing today, Fred?
I certainly do not feel safer. I don't curtail my activities, but I don't feel safer than I did 8 years ago. And I have an interesting, as far as the president's comments last night on what Trump had to say, I think he's a real idiot. All of these terrorist attacks are being done by Muslims. It's just a simple fact. And Trump didn't debase all Muslims. He just was concerned about extreme Muslims.
Right. I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it.
Trump's comments were factual.
Right. I mean, if you are subscribing to the teachings of the Quran and you are trying to live out those teachings and you have an ideology that believes that you are called on a mission to kill infidels, non-believers, then yeah, the shoe fits, wear it. You're a threat. And you know, this idea that this all fits under the rubric of religion is there is a difference. And I made this point to a reporter who he said, well, you know, they're saying that it's Christians who are responsible for this because they have been opposed to same-sex marriage and it's marginalized the gay community. I said, whoa, wait a minute. we can disagree on moral choices, but we still value each and every human being because they are created in the image of God. They have dignity, and they're inherently valuable because they're created in the image of God. And as Christians, we're taught to love them. Now, part of loving is telling people that the choices you're making are leading down a path of destruction, both temporally and eternally. But it's not our job to take those lives. That's not the teachings of Christianity. That is the teaching, as we're hearing very clearly, from Islam, but not from Christianity. And the idea that we should somehow be silent about moral absolutes and moral choices as it affects individuals and society as a whole is, well, it's absurd. America is not in trouble because Christians have been speaking out. I believe America is in trouble because Christians have not been speaking out about these moral truths. I think we've been silent far too long. And I think we have an obligation to speak the truth from a redemptive heart. And what I mean by that, we speak the truth not to win an argument, not to prevail in a debate, but we speak the truth with the hopes that people will come to understand it. And remember what Jesus said, you know, the truth will make you free. And I cannot help in so many of these debates and in these issues look at the spiritual side of this and the darkness that has descended upon many in this country visually. I mean, they just can't see it. I mean, it's so clear. I mean, this debate over the threat of radical Islam. How in the world do you not see this unless you've been spiritually blinded? Scripture says that happens, and it will happen. All the more reason, folks, we need to be praying. And by the way, let me remind you of this. Coming up the Sunday, July the 3rd, that's the Sunday before the 4th of July, the Family Research Council promotes what's called the Call to Fall. And what we're doing is simply asking churches across the nation to take just a few moments in that Sunday morning service to get on their knees collectively as a congregation and pray. Pray for America. Do you need any additional reasons to pray? Folks, we've got a list. We've got an election coming up. We have threats inside and out. We need to be praying. And maybe God will hear our prayers. Let's try Him. That's Call to Fall, Sunday, July the 3rd. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, sorry, folks, didn't get to the rest of the calls. But, Lord willing, there's tomorrow. And I want to encourage you to tune in again tomorrow as we continue this conversation. Thanks so much for being a part of Washington Watch. Again, you can find out more information at tonyperkins.com. Until we meet again, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.